Hello, everyone, and welcome to Heard on the Street, Street Fights podcast, where we uncover the stories behind the companies and, more importantly, the people that constitute this sector of media and advertising that we all call local. So where are they from? What makes them tick? What business and life lessons can we draw from that? I'm Mike Bullen, lead analyst at Street Fight, and today we're going to take a slightly different angle, and it's a bit of a bonus episode. We're featuring the recording of a session that took place at the recent Brandify Summit in LA. Brandify Director of Account Strategy, Dustin Hayes, sat down for a fireside chat with Dick's Sporting Goods SEO specialist, Casey Kramer, specifically about what Dick's is doing with Google My Business to boost its sales. And the result is a telling set of takeaways about search marketing tactics from a major U.S. brand. So our episode today features that onstage interview. So here is the interview with Casey Kramer.
My name is Dustin Hayes. I am the Director of Account Strategy with Brandify. And today I'm joined by Casey Kramer. Casey is an SEO specialist with Dick's Sporting Goods. We are going to talk today about Google Posts. Is everybody familiar with what Google Posts are? For the most part? Show of hands, play along with me a little bit though. And keep them up. How many are actually doing Google Posts today? Yeah, that looks about right. Makes sense. So after today's session, you will be posting on Google. The impetus, I think, of today's session really started about 2 or 3 months ago when Casey started telling me about a lot of the cool things that DSG was doing with posts, a lot of the ways that they were using them. And Brandify, obviously, as a partner of Google, Stephen was up here speaking earlier about posts as well. There are a lot of questions around it. Definitely advocate for using posts, and we've seen a lot of the great ways that they've been used, but we haven't seen a lot of usage of posts to date, which is why I think it would be a great opportunity for us to kind of walk through that today. And why Casey's here. Anything you want to?
Yeah, I would just say that for Google Posts, it's something, obviously, it's a little over a year old now, maybe about a year and a half. And as soon as we saw articles about it, you know, it kind of made its way through the blogs, the company just jumped on it. We were like, hey, this is a new opportunity because the landscape is changing so much. And, you know, the SERPs are becoming more and more localized, and SEO is getting less and less real estate in the SERP. And so we were trying to just come up with these solutions. How can we get our customer to our site? How can we get the word out? How can we leverage omnichannel promotions and do all of these things? And Google Posts was kind of that opportunity that we saw, hey, let's really take advantage of this and just go all out. Over the past year, really, we've been doing a lot of things. So I'm really excited to talk to you guys about it today.
So like Casey said, Google Posts was introduced a little over a year ago. There are a number of different ways that you can leverage posts. These are things like events or just general announcements about maybe a new product that you have. Recently, specific to products was another type of post that was recently introduced. All of these different posts have different attributes as well. So different calls to action, different ways that the information is displayed to the customer, to the consumer. But that display of that information is really what we're looking for. I kind of say this is akin to free advertising because we take advantage of a lot of real estate on Google's page and we're not having to pay for it. It's just something that that we can do on our own through GMB. I've kind of been circulating this idea that Google's product rollout is interesting. They have this great way of creating solutions to problems that don't yet exist. If Steven's in here, I hope that he can attest to this as well. But what I mean by that is if we think back to when reviews were first introduced for GMB, they create this this solution, which is a great thing. People can now leave reviews on a page. I can reply to reviews. But in consequent algorithm releases, they present a problem as well. And if you're not getting good reviews, and if you're not replying to those reviews, you're going to start to rank lower and lower and lower in GMB. So we introduced this solution to a problem that didn't exist. And a lot of these new features that are rolling out, I speculate, they will kind of have this same life cycle. GMB Post doesn't necessarily have any, we're not going to get a slap on the wrist from an SEO standpoint if we're not doing it, but if we don't take advantage of these things now and start to familiarize ourselves with them, that may very well be the case that in future algorithm releases from Google, we will see that it's going to have a detrimental impact on where we're ranking in search as well. So these posts appear in what would be called the knowledge panel in cards on your right-hand side of a GMB page. So for those of you who haven't seen this, sort of an example there of DSG that you can see for 20% off. And like Casey said, great at improving your overall presence. It's just more real estate that we can take advantage of. So there's four cases that we're going to take a look at today, four different posts that Dick's Sporting Goods has done, and we're going to look at some of the analytics and some of the statistics that are associated with those posts.
Yeah, so the first really big initiative that we have, we wanted to focus today on kind of the holiday post that we did last year. With holiday approaching, we thought it would be kind of helpful for you guys to see the different things that we tried out around that time frame. The first big one was Black Friday and Cyber Week, and this was a really huge initiative from my team on the SEO team. There are about six of us. And we were tasked with uploading a Black Friday Cyber Week related post for 800 plus locations. If you're at all familiar with Google Posts, it is extremely manual. We had to go through each location individually, upload an image, upload text, link to the proper landing page that we wanted them to land on. I would say the whole initiative probably took about a day and a half. For us to finally feel like we got them all uploaded and we were in a really good spot. So our messaging was that we were open early at 5 a.m. Black Friday. That was not the same across all stores. We actually had to get a store hours kind of export from our stores team. And we just did a simple like VLOOKUP to pair our content with the hour on that store. So they were all kind of personalized for each location when they were opening on Black Friday. We extended it out to Cyber Monday because at the time, events as a post was really new. So we actually did this as just your standard basic post. And we knew that those lived for about 7 days. So we picked what 7 days we wanted to do this on. We did the day before Black Friday through about midway through to the end of Cyber Week. The results were awesome. We were really surprised. We had kind of expected that we would get a little bit of click-through, but we really didn't expect to get the kind of volume that we did. It made up about 11% of our total SEO traffic, which was just insane to us when you think about SEO as a whole and the amount of traffic that we're getting in that time frame. For 11% of our sales to be driven through the post was something really insightful for us. And it kind of made us aware, like, hey, this is something we should pay attention to and something that we should utilize go forward. And then our conversion as well was at about a 4%. And conversion, for those maybe not familiar, are our orders by visits. So the number of people who visited the site and placed an order, that was about 4%, which is relatively high when compared to like our average SEO landing page. So we were really happy with these results. And we knew that from here, we wanted to strategize and try a variety of different post types and see what works best for us.
So again, this was the first post that you guys had done.
Yes.
First foray into Google Posts.
Yeah, so this was our first, like, we're going to do it, we're going to do it big, and we're going to see what it does. And again, it was hilarious, kind of, the day that it was happening, because nobody else on my team except myself was really familiar with Google My Business. So I was running from desk to desk, like, across the office, just answering questions about, you know, how to log on, how to pull up a location. I think searching was really difficult for a lot of people on my team because our locations, we were tasked with the challenge of sometimes have more than one name. So some people might be searching by, like in the system, by the mall or the address or the store number. But then sometimes when you search by the store number, it ties into a zip code. And so it was a whole mess and a half of confusion. That took about a day and a half, but it
got easier though.
Yeah, it definitely got easier. What made it easier is from here we said, okay, it's definitely not realistic for us to upload 800 stores every single time that we want to speak to a promotion. And we probably, the effort to put into that
wouldn't have been worth it for anything other than like Black Friday. So we thought, okay, what's that threshold? What are the prime store count that's actionable by one person being myself, and what will pay off in the best way and how? So that's where we kind of rolled out these other tests from here to try and figure out what's that sweet spot of store count and content type.
So one thing that I want to kind of highlight here too, looking back at that 11% number, so a lot of people will ask, you know, Dustin, what can we really expect to see from Google Posts? You know, if we put all the effort that Casey's describing into going through and creating these posts, what are we really going to see from it? So I want to underscore this and just clarify that number. So of all of the organic sales that you guys had on Black Friday, mm-hmm. 11% of it can be attributed to this first Google post that you did.
Yes, so we tagged the landing page URL so that we were able to pull back in our Adobe Analytics, the visits, revenue, orders, everything like that, that came from this specific landing page from Google Post. And we found that of our total natural search traffic, which I mean, the volume is huge, right? For Dick's Sporting Goods, it's ginormous. And so for 11% of that chunk to come out of just this post sitting on our store Google My Business listings was really big, yeah, for us to uncover.
So then we get past Black Friday and move on to this next example here.
Yeah, and so for us as a retailer, the entire month of December is full of promotions, like left and right. Every other weekend, they're running some kind of, you know, online only, in-store only, buy online, pick up in store, last-minute shopping, like different things. And so we were like, hey, this is the perfect storm of promotion types that we can just like roll out a bunch of these tests and see which ones are the most impactful. So this one we actually only did for one day. It was supposed to be this like big one-day sale, 20% off all orders. And it was in the store and online, which is something that we thought back then was going to be really important, that it wasn't just an online promotion. And that has proved itself in the past year. We've seen that the most impactful Google posts are going to be those ones that are either in-store only or in-store and online. Because if you think about that customer, the only way that they're landing on that page is because they're searching for a store. So it was kind of an interesting task to, okay, they're looking for a store location because customer intent is to go in-store. How can we get that customer online so they could potentially make a purchase online as well? And so this first one, it was one day only, 20% off all stores or all orders, and it was on 50 locations because we thought that that was something fairly easy to action. It at the time maybe took me like an hour to upload to 50 stores. The results were a little lighter than what we would have wanted. So like total post impressions, we were pretty high, but it's because you have to think of time frame. So we had about 100,000 people see it and kind of interact with it.
And you guys were just coming out of this awesome Black Friday post as well.
Yeah, so we just came out of Black Friday. We were like, oh, these are amazing. They do so much. And then, you know, the one day post live on 50 stores, I mean, it just was not as impactful as we had kind of hoped at the time.
Compared to 7 days that we had for...
Exactly, which, I mean, duh, common sense, but I think we were still kind of running on this high that we thought anything we throw out there is just gonna kill it. I also think that 20% off sometimes isn't as impactful as a message as, like, you would hope. Like, I think it was kind of the perfect storm of, eh. So, and that's kind of what we saw in our results. Conversion was 0.5 lower on that, and obviously visits were significantly lower with the location count.
We take some learnings from both of them.
Right.
And kind of use those going forward into our next example.
The next one. So this one we were like, man, 50 is not enough. We got to do 100. So we did 100 locations. This one lasted 2 days. And it was 25% off your order in stores and online. And it was like a weekend promo. So we were like, okay, this one's going to be like incredible. And we, you know, tried to scale down our expectations a little bit. We started thinking like, okay, think about what Black Friday did. Now take out maybe Black Friday specifically, what did Cyber Week do? And then we're thinking, okay, cut back that number to 100 locations and kind of like level set our expectations with what we were going to see. And this one was a little closer in line. We were pretty happy with the results from this guy. We got quite a bit of interaction with it. The impressions were, you know, 750,000 interactions on just, you know, 100 locations. So that was pretty cool. And the conversion on this one was a little bit higher as well. I think that that 25% off message was pretty impactful. And again, with that in-store and online message, I cannot stress this enough. If you put just an online promo on a Google My Business listing, it will probably not do anything for you.
That's a good point. I mean, when we think about how this is being surfaced to a consumer, they are really looking for a location that is going to show them this post. So when we're taking them to an online experience, you're creating a disjointed experience effectively because they were looking for a location and wanting to go into a location. So naturally, we should surface promos that have to do with going to a location.
Exactly. And this one was a pretty great one. But the 100 locations was still, it felt like a little bit much. There was a lot of effort put into it, particularly on my end and only my end. And it during that time frame, it was so hard to really sit down and just put 100 stores in there. So I still thought, I thought it was a little high. I thought maybe there was opportunity in finding a lesser sweet spot that was more realistic for the balance of the year. So that's where this kind of last one came out of, too.
So when we look at this in comparison to advertising, you put $0 into this campaign,
yes,
effectively. But we had 750,000 impressions. Would you generally pay more than $0 for 750,000 impressions?
If you ask our social media team, yes.
Okay. Oh, good.
But that's also what we thought was so cool about these. If you think about it, it's like a free Instagram post that you're just putting out on a different market. Just the way that they set up the visually, it's definitely just like a social media thread. Which we thought was really cool.
So let's go to our last example here. Maybe.
So this one was the real kicker. This is the one that we absolutely swear by now. And the big reason was because this was a BOPIS message. So when I, sorry, buy online, pick up in store. And it was huge because the message was like, get it before the holiday, buy online, pick up in store within a day, 2 days. And we took them to our buy online, pick up in store page that allows them to shop that specific product. And it was highly effective for the time frame. We did it on 25 less locations than the previous one. It was only on 75. And it lasted for 5 days in length. We had 900,000 impressions on this one, and we saw the same conversion on this as we saw on the Black Friday post. So conversion was back up to that 4%, and we thought that that was awesome.
Slightly less locations.
Yes, quite a bit less locations, obviously. But this was, again, kind of our sweet spot. We were like, okay, go forward. This gives us a good idea that we should stick to again, that omni-channel in-store and online message. The time frame was perfect. So this was our model, I guess, from that point forward of what we should kind of think about and what kind of content we should try to piece together to have an effective post.
My favorite thing about this example is that it does blend all of the learnings that you've taken from the earlier posts and put them into one area. So looking at something that does have to do with a store, but you're also blending it with, like you said, the omni-channel experience of buy online and then going in store to pick it up.
Yeah, and the BOPIS experience is something that the company has really tried to chase after because, you know, the more customers that you get to buy online and then you get them into the store to pick up, you know, that's foot traffic. That's getting people into the store and they're more likely to make a purchase if they walk in and,
sure,
you know, having already bought
something.
Potentially
look at other items.
Exactly, yeah. So that's a big thing for us.
So why don't you take us through, I mean, we have a couple of use cases here, other ways that we've used posts in the past with other clients. The first one here that I'll touch on is, you know, emergency or weather alerts. We have a little bit of weather activity that's happening in the Carolinas right now. A number of our clients are using posts today, not for, you know, going and making a purchase necessarily, but for alerting their customers to which locations may be open or may be closed. So there's a lot of other ways that these posts can be used, in addition to kind of what we've described and what Casey's been walking through too.
Yeah, posts have been a great way for us to just get a quick message out to that specific store if there's something going on. The best example I have, we used it for when those storms happened in Texas. And we were able to speak to, hey, this store is closed for today, be safe. There was even, I think, one location that we had where it was, we were giving away like first aid kits and things like that. And so in the context, we were like, hey, we have first aid kits, rafts, things like that available. And we kind of linked them to what those products were. So yeah, that's been a big thing, just being able to give like on the spot quick alerts. And the goal there obviously is not, we're not worried about visits, we're not worried about, you know, revenue or anything like that from those posts. It's just informing our customer and kind of having another forum to interact with them there.
And it's a great way to position the brand the way that you want to be perceived mm-hmm. too in those markets. Take us through a little bit of some of the key learnings, I suppose, that you had. Or we'll start with the challenge. You've mentioned this a few times already.
Yeah. So since those holiday kind of discoveries, this past year we've spent a lot of time just rolling posts out to different types. In the previous screen, there was like grand openings was a big one, just announcing any grand opening events that we have happening at a new store. Any other like miscellaneous promotions and things like that that we might have over Mother's Day, Father's Day. And it's just been a lot of up and down and results-wise and just trying to uncover, like, what really works for us. But the biggest challenge, again, is just how manual it is. I mean, in its current state, it's not really big multi-location friendly.
Steven?
Yeah, coming for you. It's just really not. There's a lot of work that needs to be put into kind of creating them. You have to partner with your, you know, design team so that they can make some kind of graphic that you can upload. A lot of times what happens too is, you know, our content team and myself will write a post and we'll think it's great and we'll upload it. And then some representative from, you know, whether it's news stores or construction or buyers or site merchandising will see it and they'll have like little things that they want tweaked. And they're like, hey, can you call out this brand instead of this brand? And I come back and I'm like, absolutely not. I was like, I'm not going back in and changing one word on my 50 locations, sorry. And so that's just the biggest challenge. You know, they're not easy to upload. They're not easy to change or make adaptations to. And there's no real good way to, like those impressions that I showed up there, that's not an easy export. I literally went through every single location and I took the average impressions that I gathered from all of those locations. And so it's hard. Like, it's hard to get your results. You really have to kind of gather it. So that's our biggest challenge is, you know, we want to do it and we're thirsty for it and we've seen great outcomes. It's just managing our time and knowing what is going to make us money and what might not.
Yeah. Brandif, I was really excited the other day when Google announced that they were releasing in their API the ability to do this programmatically. It was fantastic. And then we read the fine print and it said for 10 locations only.
I sent Dustin and Dylan an email when I saw that announcement. I was like, you guys knew I was going to email you about this. I'm so excited. Let's talk about it. You know, I'm going to do this every week. Like, I was so excited. And then I read the article a little more in depth. And I sent them an email back on top. And I was like, never mind.
So this is something that we're aware of. Obviously, we are knocking at Google's door every day to make sure that this is something that we incorporate so that we can actually facilitate the ability to post through our backend console as well. So adding images, selecting what your call to action is, which type of post that you want to make, and everything can be done from within the B1 platform that we've been talking about over the last couple days. So Casey, in kind of closing out, why don't you share with us some of the takeaways that you had overall and summarize that for the group?
Yeah, absolutely. So this first one here, the longer a post can live, the better. I will say that 90% of the time, that's the case. So if you have an omnichannel promo that's running for a long-standing period of time, or if there's an in-store event that's running for a long period of time, the longer it's out there, you know, obviously, the more visible it's going to be, the more people are going to see it, the more people are going to interact with it. The exceptions to that are what we found most effective as a retailer. This might vary by your industry type, but as a retailer, you know, weekend that fall on like holiday. So like Memorial Day weekend or Father's Day, you know, the Sunday before, the Saturday before, whatever, we've been able to have 1 day, 2 day long posts that do what a week long one would do because it's just a high volume time period. But yeah, I would say maybe 90% of the time it's you want to have it out there and it be a long standing promotion that you can stick by. Again, I cannot stress it enough. The omnichannel promotions work best. Customer intent is to visit a store, to get more information about a store. They're looking for your physical location. So to try and pull them away from that and force them to make just an online purchase isn't really ideal. So you want to kind of entice them with, hey, this is across in-store and online, or you know, this is buy online, pick up in store, which is really effective because they can order it on their way there. We now offer like buy online, pick up in an hour, a lot of our products. So they can be on their way to the golf course, order a golf ball, and get it within an hour and then go golfing. So we actually did that Google post and ran it for 2 months. And just left it live all through the summer.
And sold a lot of golf balls.
We sold a lot of golf balls, yeah. And then also, yeah, make sure that you track your landing page with a UTM code. So you have to put some kind of analytics tagging on the end of that URL if you want to be able to track visits, orders, revenue, because currently there's no way through Google My Business to really get those analytics.
The analytics that you have through Google Posts or through GMB are rather lackluster, to say the least, I suppose. So yes, making sure that you're tagging anything that you're doing, any URLs that you're putting for a call to action on a post, ensuring that it's tagged is paramount. We wouldn't have been able to aggregate any of these stats that we proposed today without that information being tagged.
Yep, absolutely. And then, yeah, so posts are great to highlight sales promotions, unique selling propositions. For us, a big one is like our hot market, we call it. So when we have any championship games, you know, somebody wins the Super Bowl or, you know, when the Penguins win the Stanley Cup or, you know, that's when we put down like, hey, we have extended hours. So come and get your Stanley Cup championship T-shirts. And we do that on those specific stores that we know are going to have those extended hours. And this next one's kind of interesting. So online, Google kind of insists that the image size is 750 by 750, but we've actually not been successful in that measurement for images, no matter how many times we try to upload it. We actually, oddly enough, found that 814 by 610 is the primary image size that we've been successful with, and it's so strange. And we actually like test it out frequently to see if it fluctuates at all, and no, it's just, it's been 814 by 610.
And there's a lot of different formats, I think, to consider the image size as well. So when you're actually looking at the SERP, there's one image size that's probably best presented there. Someone has the ability to click on it, which is going to yield a different image size, different cropping as well. Mm-hmm. And for videos, this is something that's different too. So make sure that you're testing, I guess, with all these different interfaces when you're looking at what image size is going to be best, and maybe don't trust exactly what Google's saying in their documentation.
Yeah. Well, I would say like the first kind of couple Black Friday ones that we started to upload, we did do 750 by 750, and we noticed them getting like severely cropped, and our like design team was not very happy with that, and so we had to go in and resize like immediately. And then yeah, stick to about 80 to 100 words per post. The posts are very limited. You know, a lot of times like you're only initially going to see like some of your title and a couple words out of your first sentence unless the customer clicks into it, and then they can read the full message. So as impactful as you can be in a short amount of words is really important. And then, yeah, make sure that your landing page matches kind of the expectations of the post. You don't want to, you know, just take your customers to the homepage if you're speaking specifically to, like, golf balls. Or vice versa, like if it's a store service or something that you're speaking to, you want to make sure that there's a landing page for that store service or the ability for them to book something, whatever it might be. You don't want to just take them to a general page and force them to do the navigation themselves. They definitely have to pair up. And then the click-through, Google provides a lot of different options that you can have. So there's like learn more, buy now, are a couple different ones. And it's it's funny, but it's definitely important. We've found that kind of pairing that right one is a pretty big deal.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, aligning that CTA with whatever your message is definitely mm-hmm. important. And I think to your point too, going back to the third to last point here with the amount of words that you're using is definitely important, because when we're in this world of too long, didn't read, the amount of people that are actually going to click on the post, you know, could not be as many that are actually going to look over it in the SERP. So if we can communicate our message through that initial sentence that you're able to see in the post that's on the SERP and through the title, all the better. If we can use less words, might as well.
And my advice on that would be, too, is get some of that text in your image. So try to upload an image that already has kind of your main point on it. And then you can just get more detailed in the text that you're going to enter.
Great. We've got about 15 minutes left for questions. So, Greg, I think you're helping us out.
Yep, I'm here to prod people. Once again, sort of blinded by the light. Okay. Wait for the mic. No one can hear you behind you. All right, why don't we do you and then
okay. Casey, have you done a video on that little box?
Ah, I did forget to talk about what's next. Yeah, so that is actually like top of mind. We haven't done it yet, unfortunately, but we worked with Bandify to kind of get the specs that we need, and I'm sure Dustin and that team would be happy to share with you kind of what those specs need to be. But we have plans of uploading, we have like little mini clips of like documentaries and things that we do, or different things that we do in the community for fundraisers. And so yeah, that's definitely on our list to try next.
Hurry up and do it so we can hear about it.
I know. Yeah, I would say the next two big things that we're looking to do as an organization is videos to try and promote some of the really great things that the company's been doing. And then the second is product. So featuring Google just rolled this out, I guess, a couple months ago now? Featuring a specific product that you want to promote. That one was a little tricky for us, and the only reason that we haven't really done it yet is because I don't trust how impactful it will be on our, you know, me only doing it on 25, 50 locations. Because, like I said, in my learnings, I'm like, okay, it needs to be omnichannel, it needs to be this, it needs to be that. And so if I'm sitting here and I'm just like, hey, we have a really good deal on a kayak, like, I don't know, like, I don't trust that my effort is really going to pay off if I'm uploading that. But it is something that I know we would like to test, and that's actually an opportunity where we might partner with some of our vendors and see if they want to pay to promote anything, and then which we would work with Brandify and take that money to them, and they would upload it for us. So, yeah, that's definitely something that we want to try out, these next new features, and we plan on it.
So I had a question on maybe leadership skepticism. So, you know, you said that basically people are going to, they see the GMB because they're already planning on going to the store. Mm-hmm. So I can see the leadership team saying, well, if they're already planning on coming to the store, why do you want to offer them something and hurt or impede on my margins?
And I would say that's exactly why we try to stick to something that's omnichannel. And also, if you think about it, I mean, you know, how many people are searching for a store that don't actually go to a store, right? Like that's, you know, people do research, people are looking for things around them. So we're trying to just capture that customer that, you know, might not, they could, what's the word I'm trying to look for? You know, they definitely have intent to go to a store, but that doesn't mean that they're going to. So if we can capture them and get them online in that interim, we definitely still want to try to do that. I would say from skepticism that we faced just in general is the difficulty of being able to match impressions with store visits. That's something that, you know, everybody, you know, my DMMs and VPs are all asking me, like, well, how do we know that these people who saw our Google posts are actually making purchases in store? And I just tell them, like, at the current moment, we don't. It's just nice to know that we got that message out there. And it's nice to know that we have 100,000, 200,000 impressions on these posts. And hopefully in the future, we could have the technology to understand who saw this promotion and who turned around and made that purchase.
The other thing that I'll say to that point, too, is even with DSG, we see a lot of locations that are surfacing for non-DSG-related terms. Mm-hmm. So products, for example, that they carry in store, will actually surface locations. So if DSG wasn't top of mind for whatever product was being searched for, there's a potential for somebody to go to a Big Five or another competitor. But if DSG is showing up and we can take over more real estate there, that's another reason for Post too.
I'm really happy that he just said that. So something else that we've been working on is we took the past kind of 2 months over the summer, and we track at Dick's Sporting Goods over 14,000 keywords. If you think about how many product divisions we're in, that's actually maybe not a lot. But yeah, we track about 14,000 keywords. And what we were able to do with our keyword vendor is understand how, out of those keywords, which ones are yielding a local pack most frequently. So we were able to gather a list of the keywords that we track that are yielding a local pack 100% of the time in those 2 months. And they were queries like treadmills, or kayaks, or baseball bats, things that we wouldn't have typically expected, and that's because the SERPs are changing, right? Almost, you know, every query that you type in anymore, you see a local pack at the bottom breaking out stores nearby. So that was a big thing that we were thinking of, and we're actually going to use that information to target posts go forward. So if there's a topic or a big promo on baseball bats or, you know, football cleats, whatever it might be, we're going to find that keyword. If it yields local packs, you know, like frequently, then yeah, we're absolutely going to exploit that on a Google post. So it'll be a helpful guide as we go to upload.
Recall you guys talking about mobile versus desktop at all, but the breakdown. So can you say a little bit about that? What percentage of your usage or engagement was on mobile devices versus online? And then if you have anything to say about landing pages, you did allude to landing pages. Are mm-hmm. Were there any specific landing page best practices that you would recommend? So breakdown of traffic, landing page best practices.
Off the top of my hand, I don't have specifically what that breakdown was. I will say that it skewed more towards mobile, obviously, with mobile kind of taking over where desktop hadn't. But I don't have.
Yeah, you might know, for example, if somebody saw that on a mobile device, they might have. I mean, you talked about not being able to track their in-store visitation, mm-hmm. but you might have, like, desktop might lead to online purchase, mobile might lead to store purchase. I mean, that's an empirical question. I was just curious if you had any information.
Yeah, no, that's, I mean, I'm really happy that you asked that because now I want to go back to work and take a look at it again. Because I would imagine that the conversion, in theory, if you know, the people looking on mobile would go to store and people looking online would convert
but
no, online.
But not always necessarily.
But yeah, but you would think that the mobile conversion might be a little lower. That's definitely something I'd want to check out.
And like we were talking about earlier, too, Google doesn't have a lot of great stats right now around the breakout between mobile versus desktop. It's something we can, you know, assuming you're using a UTM parameter, we can track that a little bit easier. But that's why it's imperative that we have that information. As far as, Greg, to answer your other question, too, about local pages, there's, depending on the campaign that we're using, I think we're going to have a different landing page that's suited towards whatever experience we're trying to create, whatever that ad is asking for, the post is asking for. So if it really is centric to the location, maybe a service that they provide, mm-hmm. right now we're actually going through and rebuilding local landing pages today where we will have a services section that we could immediately take that user to so that they're seeing relevant information that's based on the post that they had seen on the SERP. Whereas if it's maybe a campaign, we're talking about doing these sort of co-op campaigns, we might actually take them to the product page for whatever this brand is on the main site as well. So
exactly. That
landing page, or inevitably where we're going to put that user at, is going to be different based on the content that we're using in the post.
And I will say for these holiday posts that we showed, we actually had a main holiday landing page. So it was really convenient for us because the landing page changed frequently with the promo that we were running. So if we were running 20% off, it was plastered on top of that holiday landing page, and that's where we brought all of the traffic to.
I have another question. You seem to be using those posts for promos. Mm-hmm. In between, what do you put there? Do you have something up? Just the basic
so
stuff?
In a perfect world, when Google finally lets us just bulk upload, we will probably have a post up every single week. I would love to have just long-standing promotions running on that. But unfortunately, it's just not possible.
Too much work.
So the posts, when they end, If you do a traditional post, it'll automatically come down after a week. If you do an event post, it'll come down whenever you put the event as having ended. So the longest post I've ever been able to run was for 2 months, and it was over the summer. And Google, I was kind of surprised. I thought that that would be too long. I was a little nervous they were just going to, like, take it down one day. But they kept it up. So now in my head, I'm like, okay, what can I put up there to, like, live for 6 months? Like, what's that threshold? And we're still kind of uncovering that. But yeah, they'll come down automatically, and it just will not show anything there.
But you would use it for non-promos?
Yes.
Yeah. More evergreen content. What's something we could have all the time?
If we had the ability, I would love to just have an evergreen message there.
Yeah. Is this something you see going into the hands of your social team once you can bulk upload? It seems to me it kind of starts turning into a social platform.
I don't know. I think that it's something that would be cross-functional. So I think that for more of that evergreen content and more of the just brand awareness type messaging, yeah, it would probably fall to our social team. But for me, when it comes to certain pages that we really want to get out there, that we want to get more organic traffic to, or if there's a promotion that we're running, I feel like that would probably stick with either your kind of like SEO team, or it would stick with whatever team you would have that manages your Google My Business.
Do you foresee it, sort of along the lines of this question, do you foresee a time in the future where the posts are really, implies the bulk upload, are dynamic and tied to particular stores or regions?
Oh yeah, I feel like it's only going to evolve from here. I mean, they've only been live a year, and they've made like 5 changes to them. So I'm sure they'll become more dynamic and kind of easier to shop in different regions. And
especially as it relates to Dick's Sporting Goods, we put a lot of effort today into identifying teams in certain markets that are specific to that market. Mm-hmm. So if we wanted to have posts around certain memorabilia or certain jerseys, whatever it may be, that are specific to the team that's in that area, we'd want to get a lot more defined with that. And that goes for promotions or events or whatever else it may be as well.
If you can localize those messages, even if you're driving an online transaction, they're going to be a lot more engaged with that content than a generic national message.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what the data show.
And we do a ton of like regional posts as is. I would say like that's not even that difficult at this point for us to do. So if we want to market specifically to like the Chicago area, it's not unheard of for us to do that ourselves right now. While a bulk upload feature would be nice.
We're doing them one by one anyway, right?
So. Yeah, right. It's, it really isn't that hard if I wanted to go through and upload a post for all of our Chicago locations and speak specifically to that team. It's when it's out on a fuller scale that, the ability to be able to say, hey, this post in the Northeast, this post in the Midwest, it would definitely be ideal. And whatever we can do as a big business to try and make it more localized, we really would like to be able to do that.
Yeah. Hi. Do you look at stats at some of your paid search to know when you post these, is it all incremental, or are some people now using these posts instead of the paid search clicks?
You know what? That is a really good question. No, we haven't looked into that, but that would be a fantastic thing to look into.
Because I'm assuming you're probably running, like a Cyber Monday, you'd run a subsequent paid search campaign, and maybe it's like if this person was going to click on this link, they clicked on that instead.
Is it truly incremental? Because I think from our perspective, we're looking at it primarily from that SEO traffic. So I'm sitting here and I'm like, okay, it's definitely incremental. This is here now. It wasn't here before. It's, most of the queries are store queries anyways. That's a really, really solid question. Definitely something I would want to look into.
You could also see it as a branding move, though. If for product searches, that post is coming up. So the people associate products with Dick's. That's a brand impression as much as it is a direct response kind of thing that might drive a transaction in the immediate future.
Absolutely.
So I think we're out of time. But Casey, why don't you give people in the room who aren't doing this sort of beyond just saying get into it and start it? What is your advice for people who are sitting here sort of envying your success or intrigued by your success, what would you say to them?
You know, I think that for us, as soon as we saw the opportunity, we just kind of jumped on it. And we didn't know what to expect. We didn't really know the workload. We didn't know what it was going to be yet. And I think at the point that we're at, we're really happy that we did it. And it's only going to evolve from here. And I would say the best thing to do is just try. And just if you want to test it out on just, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20, however many locations, it's at least something, right? And you're able to kind of get a better idea of what does this do for my specific business? Because it is going to be different per everybody's business. I'm up here talking from a retail perspective, but, you know, if I'm a healthcare provider, the content's going to be much different, and therefore it's going to have a much different effect than something that I would speak to. But again, from an SEO perspective, for us it was like, okay, this is a no-brainer. It's just incremental, right? The worst thing that could happen is we don't get any visits and we get some impressions, but there's still some impressions that we weren't getting before. So, yeah.
Awesome. And, you know, hopefully this session has brought a little bit more empowerment to those of you that aren't using Post today. Definitely, as Casey said, we're just advocating for go do it. You know, it's proven great for DSG, as you've seen. And really, there's only upside. Greg mentioned a great point, which is even if we're not seeing incremental traffic or incremental sales from this, it's a great branding opportunity as well. You're taking more advantage of this Google space that you're not paying for. Exactly. And if, you know, Brandify is another partner who can always help with this as well. So if you're leery about it, not quite dipping your toe in yet, it's something that we can help with as well. Thank you, Casey.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, everyone.